We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, Verse 6, the battle between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha. Satutyamano vidurukta marayir Satutyamano vidurukta marayir Tanschakakangam upalakshapitam Tanschakakangam upalakshapitam Todam Mishani Ragad Ambumadhyad Todam Mishani Ragad Ambumadhyad Graha Hatasa Karenur Yateba Graha Hatasa Karenur Yateba Chan
Satyamano Vidurukta-tamaray
Satyamano Vidurukta-tamaray enemy. Durukta, by the abuse of words. Tamarai, by the weapons. Danscha agra, on the ends of his tusks. Gam, situated. Gam, the earth. Upalaksha, seeing. Bitam, frightened. Todam, the pain. Mishan, bearing. Niragat, he came out. Ambumadhyat, from the midst of the water. Graha, by a crocodile. Ahata, attacked. Sakarenu, along with a she elephant. Yata, as. Ibha, an elephant. Translation. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like, abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth and the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. Purport. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand that the Lord has feelings. The Lord is satisfied if someone offers him a nice prayer. And similarly, if someone decries his existence or calls him by ill names, God is dissatisfied. Supreme personality of Godhead is decried by the Mayavadi philosophers, who are almost demons. They say that God has no head, no form, no existence, and no legs, hands, or other bodily limbs. In other words, they say he is dead or lame. All these misconceptions of the Supreme Lord are a source of dissatisfaction to him. He is never pleased with such atheistic descriptions. In this case, although the Lord felt sorrow from the piercing words of the demon, he delivered the earth for the satisfaction of the demigods, who are ever his devotees. The conclusion is that God is as sentient as we are. He is satisfied by our prayers and dissatisfied by our harsh words against him. In order to give protection to his devotee, he's always ready to tolerate insulting words from the atheist. Mukam karoti vachalam bandum langate girim yaki pantamaham vande si guru tiratayam Om agyana timiranda se agyana anjara shirakaya chakshir meditam yena tasamai shi guru vedama. So why does the Lord come? He comes to save his devotees. Not only at the beginning of creation, Lord Varaha came, 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna came. It is described in the prayers of Queen Kunti why he came. She gives many, many reasons. And this is one of the reasons. Bhāravatāraṇyanye bhuvo nava ivodata sīranti puripārena jato hyatma bhuvartha. Others say the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much grieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. So, normally when there's a problem in the universe, Brahma can take care of it. He's the manager. But sometimes it's beyond his capability. So then the Lord personally comes, or he sends his incarnation, avatar. So at the time of Krishna, when Krishna came, the Lord was overpopulated, overburdened, like a boat at sea. Now, was it a question of too many people, overpopulation? No, it was too many demons. When the demons are on the earth becomes very heavy. Just like Prabhupada said, that now that they're taking all the gas or petrol out of the earth and fracking and all this, then this is disturbing the balance of the earth. And it can again fall down into the ocean. So Janaka Pandit gives the example of how a bad son is a burden on the father. So a mother, she gets upset if her children are naughty. Mother Earth becomes disturbed. She's also the mother, our mother. It's not a question of overpopulation, but of demoniac population. So when devotees live in the earth, then it's a burden of love for Mother Earth. But when people forget what is dharma, what is religion, then God has to come. So once in London in the airport, Prabhupada was questioned, "Why have you come here?" And Prabhupada said, "To teach you what you have forgotten, and that is God. You have forgotten God." So at the present moment, the earth has become overburdened by material activities, and Krishna has descended in some forms, many forms. One form is the holy name. People chant Hare Krishna, then we can have Vaikuntha. We can transform the world into Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada has come also, he came to relieve the burden of the earth, and Panchatattva has come. And so Krishna although he's all pervading, but we cannot see him. Actually, everything we see in this universe is his part of his universal form. He's here, he's all pervading, he's already here, but nobody sees him. He says in Gita, I'm the source of everything, of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So the principle here is that everything is Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. Whatever we see in this world, it belongs to Krishna. That is that verse, Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, verse 8. So if you accept this principle that Krishna is the source of everything, then what will be your behavior? It says, those who accept this, they worship me with all their hearts. So Krishna is very pleased. Here it says he has feelings. When we worship him, he's happy. He feels happy. So how should we worship him? What should we offer? He says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prachati. Give me a fruit, flower, leaf, and water. So where do we get these fruits, flowers, and leaves and water? They're all part of his body, part of the universal form. The hairs on his body are vegetation, the trees and the plants and the fruits and the flowers. So every herb, every plant, every tree in this universe, in this existence, has a purpose. Some of them are for us to eat and nourish our bodies. Some of them are medicine. And the Ayurvedic doctor, he knows what is the purpose of all these things. And when Maharaj Yudhisthira was the king, then the earth produced all necessities. You didn't have to go and even grow them. And the clouds were giving water, all the water that we needed. And the rivers were, and the oceans were full of jewels. You didn't have the mountains were full of jewels and gems. And so why? It says in Bhagavatam 110.5 that the rivers, the oceans, the hills, the mountains, forest creepers, in every season paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. So when you have a Krishna conscious king, then even the ecosystem will be benefited. That the hills, the mountains, everyone will cooperate because they're all part of the universal form. So if there is a Krishna conscious king, then even the mountains, the rivers, they will pay their tax to the king. The fruits, the flowers, the trees, they will pay their tax. And so Prabhupada gives the example of the river. The river, the purpose of the river is to give water all year round. And during the rainy season, the water is evaporated and put on top of a hill. And it's stopped there by God's arrangement, Prabhupada says. And then it comes down. So we also in India, I don't know what the system is here, but they have wells and then they pump it up to the top. And then the water comes down. So there is a natural arrangement like that. There's the river, the water goes up to the top, it's rain on top of the mountains, and the water comes down. So there's full cooperation, even with the plants, even with the rivers, to please Krishna. The purpose of life is to please Krishna. Even the rivers, they all have a purpose, how to please Krishna. And when there's a Krishna conscious king, then nature will be actually in cooperation with the king. And so living entities in this material world are unlimited. And Krishna has made an arrangement to how we can be happy here. He says in Gita that I've sent you here along with sacrifice for Vishnu. And then you can be happy. So if we worship Krishna, then even the rivers, even the ocean, even the vegetables, Prabhupada says, they will serve you. They will help you. So when the impersonalists, here Prabhupada talks about the Mayavadis, they think, why should we worship the Lord? I try to be the Lord. But then I will be happy. That is their idea. So while the impersonalist concludes he is Krishna, the personalist has great gratitude and he wants to please Krishna. Just like before I was a devotee, first I was looking for guru. First guru I went to said, if you meditate on this mantra morning and evening, after 6 months you can become God. I tried, but it didn't work. And then I met the devotees and I said, what's your process? And they said, chant, dance, and eat. And I said, then what can I expect if I follow this? He said, yes, you will see God. Not that you will be God. You will see God face to face. So out of gratitude, that's why we should worship the Krishna, out of gratitude. He has given us so many things. He has given us the air to breathe. He has given us food to eat. He has given us this beautiful human form of life, which is a gift. This is a gift from God, just so we can make our life perfect and go back to home, back to Godhead. So when human society is grateful to Krishna, then the gifts come. When I was in India in the early 70s, there was a shortage of grains, rice. There was a shortage. The rice was on quota. And the devotees, one devotee, Bhagavat, he got arrested. I think it was Bhagavat. He got arrested in Bombay for doing food for life, because he had more than his quota of ration. But so Prabhupada asked the devotees, why is there shortage in India? And the reason was because India was sending all its grains to Russia. Russia was a good friend of India in the 1970s. And India was sending all of its rice and wheat to Russia in exchange for weapons. And so Prabhupada said, well, why is there no grain, why are there no grains in Russia? And then the disciple answered, because there's no rain. Why is there no rain in Russia? Because they are not worshipping Krishna. So when human society is grateful, when they worship Krishna, then everything is provided. So why should we offer to Krishna? First reason we gave is that out of gratitude. Krishna is not hungry, he's not poor, he doesn't need our food, he doesn't need our money, he's not impressed with our renunciation if we try to renounce. And what, we have nothing to renounce, actually, because nothing belongs to us. Prabhupada gives the example, suppose you walk into the bank, I don't know what bank you have here, Bank of America, he said, you walk into the bank and you say, I renounce this bank. I mean, it's not yours. So, to renounce. So anyway, it has no meaning. Everyone will laugh at you that I'm renouncing. So what do we have to renounce? There's nothing, because nothing is ours. Sometimes in the early days in traveling Sankirtan, the devotees would not have anything to eat so much. So they would go into the supermarket and they would offer the whole shop, the whole supermarket to Krishna so they could eat whatever's in the supermarket. So don't get ideas, but that was what they used to do in the early days. But actually, yes, what do we have? Some people say, because I live in Vrindavan, they say, so we heard that everything in Vrindavan is already prasad. I said, well, if that's true, what can we offer? You know, if it's all prasad, of course, it's mercy. Everything is mercy. Somebody asked me a question recently, what's the difference between... Is ordinary food also the mercy of Krishna, as well as prasad? I said, yeah, it's also the mercy of Krishna, but it won't take you back to Godhead like prasad will. You eat prasad, you'll go back to Godhead. You eat other ordinary food not offered, then you will, Gita says you're eating sin only. And so we offer to Krishna, not because he needs it, but because we need to offer. It's good. It's purifying for us. And Krishna, it pleases Krishna. Here he has feelings. He's happy. But how does he eat the food? By hearing our words of love, Srila Prabhupada says. He eats by hearing our words of love. He can eat through his ears. And not only Krishna can eat through his ears, it says in Bhagavatam, we can see through our ears. By hearing about Krishna Katha, we can see through our ears and we can smell through our ears the lotus feet of Krishna if we're very attentively hearing. So the pure devotee, he understands everything belongs to Krishna, not only to Krishna, but to Krishna's devotees. So another way to please Krishna is not only to give to Krishna, give to Krishna's devotees. Feed the devotees. Prithu Maharaj, the example, he heard from the four Kumaras, and he wanted to offer something to the four Kumaras. He said, it's my duty, but whatever I have, it's actually your remnants. It belongs to you, it's not mine. So this was the mentality of the kings previous kings. They felt like, none of these things are mine. They all belong to you. What can I offer to you? But still, please accept something. So out of love, the devotee gives whatever he has to Krishna. And Krishna is not impressed by the offering. He's impressed by the love and devotion that's mixed with the offering. Sudama, he gave just a little chipped rice and was not even edible. And in return, Krishna was so grateful, he gave him a huge palace. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35, four things we can give to Krishna. Prana, artai, diha, vacha. And first, prana, we should give our life. What is this one life? We've had so many billions of lives. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj when he was just first meeting Srila Prabhupada. And he told His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj that you have enjoyed so many billions of lives in sense gratification. Just give this one life to Krishna. And if you want, you can have billions of more lives of sense gratification. If you want. But we don't want. So prana, give your life to Krishna. Prana, but if you cannot give your life, prana, artai, give some money. Give some of your hard-earned wealth. And if you have no money, that's okay. Prana, artai, dhya, give your intelligence to Krishna. Do some planning, do some help with the planning of the movement, how to spread the movement. And if you have no intelligence, there's still one thing left. Vacha, you can give your words. You can chant Hare Krishna, you can tell someone to chant Hare Krishna, you can distribute a book. And in this way, Krishna will be pleased with you. Pranar, artar, dhya, vacha. Give your life, money, intelligence, and words. So Srila Prabhupada, he saw, when he would look at the world, he would see everything belongs to Krishna, so everything should be offered to Krishna. So when he saw us, he thought, oh, we are also belonging to Krishna, but we're not offering ourselves. So he preached to us, so he wanted to offer us to Krishna too. Sometimes grihastas tell me, oh, my son, he's not following Krishna consciousness. What should I do? So I tell them, okay, you take your child and you offer him to a deity, a particular deity, Radha Krishna, Gonitai, somebody. So one devotee, they went home and they did that, and they came back the next class and they said, well, you know, I told my son I'm going to offer him to a deity. And my son said, which deity? And he said, offer me to Nrisingadev. So this we can do. We can offer our kids to Krishna, even they may not be so into Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada had the vision to engage all of us in Krishna consciousness. He engaged rich and he engaged poor. We were not so rich. Some of us were hippies. I had only one possession. That was my cello. I was a musician before I joined. And so I sold that to pay the rent of one half of a month's rent in the Boston Temple. And so I gave that to Krishna. But not much else. Except, well, I gave my life, so that's okay. Something I gave. But some of us had nothing to give, but other Jayananda, he gave his savings to Prabhupada. Ramananda, he gave his life savings when he joined, $5,000. And then when he met Prabhupada, he gave him the check, and then he was looking at the Srimad Bhagavatams, thinking, okay, maybe he'll give me these books. It was the first canto, three books. And he asked, when he asked for the books, Prabhupada said, that will be extra. And he said to get that $16 was much harder than getting the $5,000 because he didn't have a job after that. He quit his job and gave all the money to Prabhupada. So then how could he get that $16? So we should offer out of gratitude, we should offer out of love, and we should offer out of friendship. There's a negative instruction, the verse Dadati Patigrinati Guhyam Akyati Prichati. Bhungte Bhojaitai Chaiva Sad Vidham Priti Lakshanam. There are six loving exchanges between devotees, offering gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad, six symptoms of love. Srila Prabhupada said we should do these with Krishna as well. We should make friendship with Krishna. If you want to make friendship with a great personality, you give him a gift. You want to see somebody very great, you make a connection, you introduce yourself, you give them a gift. So if we want to go to Krishna Loka, we have to prepare ourselves how to be friends, how to love Krishna. So how to love Krishna? Prabhupada gives us some advice in one of his lectures. First, you have to get up early in the morning. You don't have to, you don't like to, but you think, I'll get up early to satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna. So every day we can make an intention. Like one day we can say, okay, today I'm going to say thank you to Krishna for everything that happens to me. Another day you can say, okay, whatever I do today, I'm going to offer it before I do it. There's one, my godbrother Karnamriti, before he gets out of bed, he says, okay, I offer this day to you. Or before he brushes his teeth, I offer these teeth to you. They're yours. Before he takes a shower, I offer this shower because it's not my body, it's your body. So I'm bathing your possession. So Prabhupada says, then you have to chant 16 rounds. You may be lazy, you may not want to do it, but if you want to love Krishna, then you have to do it. You must do it. In the beginning, you have to learn how to love Krishna, but when you actually come to the state of love of God, there's no question of, oh, I have to do it. You can't wait to chant your japa, to get your hand in that bead bag and make your relationship with Krishna. You can't wait to go in Harinam and chant Hare Krishna. This is spontaneous. You will spontaneously follow the regulative principles when you actually have a taste. If you ever visit Jayapur, I visited Jayapur in India, there is a temple of Radha Govinda and the whole city goes to Mangalarti, 1,000 people. And you hear them before Mangalarti running in the streets, Govinda, 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 they're shouting. They're very enthusiastic. So this is spontaneous. And then after Arti, they'll distribute, they'll buy prasad and distribute it to everybody, whoever they meet. So this is an example of spontaneous love. In Boston, and there's another point that you should reveal your mind. In Boston, we used to go up to the deities once a week, and we would give a report. Okay, this week I did this, I had this problem, can you help me? We'd be grateful, thank you for helping me with this. And we'd be very grateful. And we would have a big line. There were 65 devotees in Boston Temple. And we all had to go up and talk to the deities and tell them, give a report. And the accountant had to go up and give the report, because the deities were in charge of the money. And so this is the personalist attitude. The impersonalist says, I'm God. Let everyone serve me. This is Hiranyaksha. He wanted everyone to worship him. Hiranyakashipu. He was upset with Prahlad. Why are you worshiping my enemy? You should worship me. I'm your father. And I'm the greatest of the demons. So the impersonalist, the Mayavadi, Prabhupada says, is almost a demon. Because he also wants to be God and he wants worship. He wants to be everyone to serve him. But the devotee, he thinks, I am servant. And I'll become one with God in interest. I will make him happy. Just like you have a lover and beloved, you can become one in interest. So the devotee, he tries to give everything in the service of the Lord because he knows everything belongs to Krishna. So another time, the devotee also, we worship the devotee. We used to worship Srila Prabhupada very opulently. We would take over the airports whenever Prabhupada would come. There's so many descriptions. Prabhupada would be on the plane. Some devotees were on the plane with Prabhupada. And as soon as they opened the airplane door, they would hear the kirtan, because there was hundreds of devotees at the airport. And they would throw flower petals in front of Prabhupada. And, you know, the airport would be so upset, you know, oh, you've dirtied our airport by putting these flower petals. And Prabhupada said, just see, flower petals are dirty for them. So one time he came to the airport, there was a press conference. And of course the devotees, as soon as they see Prabhupada, everyone hit the ground really hard. And the reporter was, you know, they were shocked. And so the first question was, do you think you are God? And Prabhupada says, the spiritual master should be given all respects as God. But if he thinks he's God, then he's a dog. That was Srila Prabhupada. Another time, there was a Rolls Royce. This was in Australia. They came to meet him in a Rolls Royce. And the reporter said, so you're supposed to be renounced. How come you're riding in a Rolls Royce? And Prabhupada said, actually, they should have given me a car made of gold, but they didn't have it, so I had to accept this tin box. Okay. They should have given me a golden car, because I'm representative of God, but actually, it's really bad. All they could give me was this this tin thing, tin can. Anyway, Prabhupada, when he would answer the reporters, they couldn't say anything. They were just too shocked. That was it. And they were expert. Reporters are very expert in tripping up people, you know. But they couldn't, you know, so many examples. Yeah. So do you believe that the earth is flat? And Prabhupada said, everywhere I walk it is. And what about the death rate? The death rate is so high in India. And he said, Prabhupada said, it's 100% everywhere. Everyone has to. What was the question of the death rate? Anyway, this was Srila Prabhupada. So he talks about the impersonalist. Because he's impersonal, the impersonalist cannot eat. They are restricted. They have to renounce food. They have a terrible diet. I mean, the real ones, not the cheating ones. So Prabhupada says, whereas an impersonalist tries to avoid good eatables, a devotee knows Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and the devotee eats all that is offered to Krishna in devotion. And that's how Prabhupada got a lot of us, by prasadam. We never tasted anything like prasadam. So what is the best offering we can give to Krishna? And that offering is to chant the holy name of Krishna. If you look on the bottom of Krishna's feet, not easy from here, it's Radharani's foot actually. There is an altar, a sacrificial altar. And this mark, well, it has two meanings. So first of all, if you meditate on Radha and Krishna's feet, then all your sins are burned up. And a second meaning is that the universe is nourished by Brahmins offering fire sacrifices, if you offer your mind in sacrifice to Radha Krishna's feet, then you will stimulate universal nourishment that will affect all creation. That, now, the most interesting meaning is that the universe is the form of Krishna, and the offering is the form of Radha. So whatever you see, all the ingredients, that is Krishna. And when you offer it, that's Radharani. That's the form of service, Radharani. So the perfect union of Radha and Krishna is indicated by the mark of a sacrificial altar. So how to offer our mind in sacrifice? We chant Hare Krishna, and that is, we are sacrificing our tongue, we're sacrificing our ears. If we dance, we're sacrificing our body. And when we chant, then we are uniting Radha and Krishna on the altar of sacrifice. And the whole universe is being nourished. And so you have your Harinam every day. This is a wonderful opportunity for everyone to go. And so in this age of Kali, our sacrifice, fire sacrifice, is not very, very good. It doesn't work. The previous ages, you could do the fire sacrifice. But now we have to sacrifice our ears, our tongue, our minds, and chanting the holy name. The sages of Nayasharanya had this realization 5,000 years ago. They went to perform a fire sacrifice for 1,000 years. Imagine. Non-stop. Non-stop fire sacrifice for 1,000 years. Lord Ramchandra did it for 13,000 years. Non-stop fire sacrifice. So the sages, they said, we've just begun this performance of the sacrificial fire, and we're not certain of its result because our so many imperfections in our chanting and our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke. But we are very pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda, which you are distributing, they were saying to Suta Goswami. So they were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that was the real sacrifice. That was the real purification. And so we should follow in the footsteps of the sages of Shukadev Goswami of Maitreya, who's speaking here, and offer our tongue in sacrifice. Read Bhagavatam. Prabhupada always said two things together. Kirtaneya Sadahari, you chant Hare Krishna, and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, you serve Srimad Bhagavatam. The two go together. Vidyavatu Jivanam. The chanting is the life of all knowledge, is the life of transcendental knowledge. So Prabhupada, he said that if you chant Hare Krishna, then you'll be happy. And if you read my books, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be convinced. So the two go together. So this is what the best thing we can offer to Krishna is to the chanting and the hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And these are two sound incarnations of Krishna, Shabda Brahma, as we said in the previous class. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, you can ask at this point. Yes?
Why is this body, mind, and words offering is repeated many times?
Yes, why is this body, mind, and words repeated many times? It's in Nectar of Devotion. There is a verse which is the source of this. Ihayasa haridase karmana manasagira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sauchite. If you offer your body, mind, and words in service to Krishna, you will be liberated in this life. You will be jivan mukta. So that's a perfection, a siddha, that we can attain even in this life. That's one thing. And second thing is when the sannyasis take their vows, they have this rod. It's triple body, mind, and words. So if you do that, you're liberated and you're a sannyasi. If you offer your body, mind, and words. You don't need the danda. You can be one actually in action. And that Prabhupada expected that of all of us. He expected all of us to perfect our lives. When we first joined the temple, everybody was together in the temple. Grihastas, brahmacharis, there weren't any sannyasis. Brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. Brahmacharinis had to wear saffron as well. Yeah, all the men and women who were single, they wore saffron sheets. And the grihastas wore yellow sheets. We didn't have dhotis and saris in those days. And we all had to give our money to the temple, and they would make sure of it. If we had anything, they would. If we didn't bring it, they would go and send a car and bring all our. There was one band member, the leader of a band, and the temple took all of the instruments, and the band, other band members had nothing left. You know, when he joined the temple, it was. Yeah, when I sold my cello, then the temple sent a van to my mother-in-law's house, and she was quite shocked to see these people coming in the sheets to get my cello. Very upper middle class lady. Anyway, yeah, it was a bit like that. Prabhupada expected that of all of us, that we all have to renounce. I mean, you have no choice. The body will be taken away from you at the time of death. So if you do it before, then it's a lot easier. If you do it before, you're happier and it's easier and it's more natural because it doesn't belong to you anyway. Any other questions? Yeah, okay, when I said, I'll repeat it for the tape. When I said that our body belongs to Krishna, you thought of Sanatana Goswami trying to commit suicide, right? And Lord Chaitanya said, I have many things I want to do through you. It's not your body. Yeah, we should always remember that. It's hard because we think it's our body most of the time. When you get old, you realize that it's not. More and more, you lose control. You have to spend time on prevention. Prevention is better than cure. You have to do some exercise or yoga or something to keep it going. Realize it's not, it just, if after the age of 50, it just naturally deteriorates. When you're young, you can do whatever you like, and when you get old, then you have to maintenance. Maintenance is there. Anything else? Yes, Achintarupa. Really? It was in Melbourne Airport.
And the next day, the headlines in the newspaper said, the front page headlines was Swami comes Rolls-Royce in.
Okay, that Rolls-Royce happened here in Melbourne. Swami comes rolling in. That happened in Melbourne.
The front page headlines.
On the front page, the headlines on the front page, Swami comes rolling in. Yeah. Prabhupada was so amazing. How could he answer that question? You know, well, you know, it's the best I could do, you know. The report, he has a habit of shocking reporters. He had that habit of, you know, nobody could defeat him in argument. No use even trying. But reporters are expert, you know, but they were no match for Srila Prabhupada. And he's from Calcutta, you know. How is it possible that somebody from Calcutta defeat all these very sophisticated reporters all over the world? You know, it's just unthinkable. So when you surrender to Krishna, Krishna gives you unimaginable powers that are beyond your conditioning. So that's also for us. We serve Krishna, we can go beyond. That's what it means to transcend, go beyond your conditioning. What your karma is, you go beyond it. Any other question? But don't go beyond the rules of the state. You know, sometimes devotees think I'm beyond the law. Don't do that. As I was telling a story the other day, when I first came to Moscow, first and last time, this one devotee was driving me from the airport in Moscow, and he was driving on the sidewalks because there was a traffic jam. And I told him, you know, I'm not in a hurry. We don't have to drive on the sidewalks. I was worried about the people, you know, on the sidewalks. And then later I found out his name was Yamraj. I didn't go back to Moscow. I don't want to meet Yamraj again. Not ready yet. I need a few more years. That's how he was driving. Worse than India. I mean, India is, you have to chant very nicely. Your job improves on the ride to Delhi and back. But in Moscow, they don't go on the sidewalks. There's no sidewalks, so I think they can't go. But anyway, they do everything else. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Joy. So see you tomorrow for the last class. There you go. Intelligence is subtle, and words are gross. See, it's from the body. The words are coming from the body. And there's body, and words are also gross. It's like something you can hear with your gross ears, with your senses. Intelligence, you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot feel. It's subtle. There's a difference between gross and subtle. But words are more subtle than the senses, the body. More subtle, they're a little more subtle, but they're still on the gross level. If you read the 64 Angas of Dosha service in nectar of devotion. Some are body, some are mind, some are words. And this distinction is always made. And sometimes it is said that you will realize God in different, some people through the words, some people through other senses, through sounds. And we're encouraged to realize through the tongue. First, tongue is first. Chanting and eating. Yeah, body, mind, and words. Even Lord Jesus Christ said you should worship the Lord with all your heart, all your body, your mind. He said his first commandment. I mean, not commandment, but his order, first thing. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, body, mind, yeah. Words are more subtle. But they're not as subtle as the intelligence. Intelligence is part of the subtle body, which is a different covering. And words are coming from the tongue, which is a gross. Hrit means heart. Vag is words, and vapu is body. Body, mind, words. Hrit